This is the reading for July 21st. Proverbs 10. These are the wise words of Solomon. A wise son makes his father happy, but a foolish son makes his mother sad. Riches gotten by doing wrong have no value, but right living will save you from death. The Lord does not let good people go hungry, but he keeps evil people from getting what they want. A lazy person will end up poor, but a hard worker will become rich. Those who gather crops on time are wise, but those who sleep through the harvest are a disgrace. Good people will have rich blessings, but the wicked will be overwhelmed by violence. Good people will be remembered as a blessing, but evil people will soon be forgotten. The wise do what they are told, but a talkative fool will be ruined. The honest person will live in safety, but the dishonest will be caught. A wink may get you into trouble, and foolish talk will lead to your ruin. The words of a good person give life like a fountain of water, but the words of the wicked contain nothing but violence. Hatred stirs up trouble, but love forgives all wrongs. Smart people speak wisely, but people without wisdom should be punished. The wise don't tell everything they know, but the foolish talk too much and are ruined. Having lots of money protects the rich, but having no money destroys the poor. Good people are rewarded with life, but evil people are paid with punishment. Whoever accepts correction is on the way to life, but whoever ignores correction will lead others away from life. Whoever hides hate is a liar. Whoever tells lies is a fool. If you talk a lot, you are sure to sin. If you are wise, you will keep quiet. The words of a good person are like pure silver, but an evil person's thoughts are worth very little. Good people's words will help many others, but fools will die because they don't have wisdom. The Lord's blessing brings wealth, and no sorrow comes with it. A foolish person enjoys doing wrong, but a person with understanding enjoys doing what is wise. Evil people will get what they fear most, but good people will get what they want most. A storm will blow the evil person away, but a good person will always be safe. A lazy person affects the one he works for like vinegar on the teeth or smoke in the eyes. Whoever respects the Lord will have a long life, but the life of an evil person will be cut short. A good person can look forward to happiness, but an evil person can expect nothing. The Lord will protect good people, but will ruin those who do evil. Good people will always be safe, but evil people will not remain in the land. A good person says wise things, but a liar's tongue will be stopped. Good people know the right thing to say, but evil people only tell lies. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. When the Passover celebration was finished, all the Israelites in Jerusalem went out to the towns of Judah. There they smashed the stone pillars used to worship gods. They cut down the Asherah idols and destroyed the altars and places for worshiping gods in all of Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh. After they had destroyed all of them, the Israelites returned to their own towns and homes. King Hezekiah appointed groups of priests and Levites for their special duties. They were to offer burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, to worship and to give thanks and praise at the gates of the Lord's house. Hezekiah gave some of his own animals for the burnt offerings, which were given every morning and evening, on Sabbath days, during new moons, and at other feasts commanded in the Lord's teachings. Hezekiah commanded the people living in Jerusalem to give the priests and Levites the portion that belonged to them. Then the priests and Levites could give all their time to the Lord's teachings. As soon as the king's command went out to the Israelites, they gave freely of the first portion of their grain, new wine, oil, honey, and everything they grew in their fields. They brought a large amount, one-tenth of everything. The people of Israel and Judah who lived in Judah also brought one-tenth of their cattle and sheep and one-tenth of the holy things that were given to the Lord their God, and they put all of them in piles. The people began the piles in the third month and finished in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and his officers came and saw the piles, they praised the Lord and his people, the people of Israel. Hezekiah asked the priests and Levites about the piles. Azariah, the leading priest from Zadok's family, answered Hezekiah, "Since the people began to bring their offerings to the temple of the Lord, we have had plenty to eat and plenty left over, because the Lord has blessed his people, so we have all this left over." Then Hezekiah commanded the priest to prepare the storerooms in the temple of the Lord, so this was done. Then the priest brought in the offerings and the things given to the Lord and one-tenth of everything the people had given. Cananiah the Levite was in charge of these things, and his brother Shemaiah was second to him. Cananiah and his brother Shemaiah were over these supervisors: Jehiel, Azaziah, Nahath, Asahel, Jeremoth, Jozabad, Eliel, Ismachiah, Mahath, and Benaiah. King Hezekiah and Azariah, the officer in charge of the temple of God, had chosen them. Kor, son of Imnah the Levite, was in charge of the special gifts the people wanted to give to God. He was responsible for giving out the contributions made to the Lord and the holy gifts. Korah was the guard at the east gate. Eden, Meniamin, Jeshua, Shemaiah, Amariah, and Shechaniah helped Korah in the towns where the priests lived. They gave from what was collected to the other groups of priests, both young and old. From what was collected, these men also gave to the males 3 years old and older who had their names in the Levite family history. They were to enter the temple of the Lord for their daily service, each group having its own responsibilities. The priests were given their part of the collection by families as listed in the family histories. The Levites, 20 years old and older, were given their part of the collection based on their responsibilities and their groups. The Levites' babies, wives, sons, and daughters also got part of the collection. This was done for all the Levites who were listed in the family histories, because they always kept themselves ready to serve the Lord. Some of Aaron's descendants, the priests, lived on the farmlands near the towns or in the towns. Men were chosen by name to give part of the collection to these priests. All the males and those named in the family histories of the Levites received part of the collection. This is what King Hezekiah did in Judah. He did what was good and right and obedient before the Lord his God. Hezekiah tried to obey God in his service of the temple of God, and he tried to obey God's teachings and commands. He gave himself fully to his work for God, so he had success. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. After Hezekiah did all these things to serve the Lord, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and attacked Judah. He and his army surrounded and attacked the strong walled cities, hoping to take them for himself. Hezekiah knew that Sennacherib had come to Jerusalem to attack it. So Hezekiah and his officers and army commanders decided to cut off the water from the springs outside the city. So the officers and commanders helped Hezekiah. Many people came and cut off all the springs in the stream that flowed through the land. They said, "The king of Assyria will not find much water when he comes here." Then Hezekiah made Jerusalem stronger. He rebuilt all the broken parts of the wall and put towers on it. He also built another wall outside the first one and strengthened the area that was filled in on the east side of the old part of Jerusalem. He also made many weapons and shields. Hezekiah put army commanders over the people and met with them at the open place near the city gate. Hezekiah encouraged them, saying, "Be strong and brave. Don't be afraid or worried because of the king of Assyria or his large army. There is a greater power with us than with him. He only has men, but we have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." The people were encouraged by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. After this, King Sennacherib of Assyria and all his army surrounded and attacked Lachish. Then he sent his officers to Jerusalem with this message for King Hezekiah of Judah and all the people of Judah in Jerusalem. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, says this, "You have nothing to trust in to help you. It is no use for you to stay in Jerusalem under attack. Hezekiah says to you, 'The Lord our God will save us from the king of Assyria,' but he is fooling you. If you stay in Jerusalem, you will die from hunger and thirst. Hezekiah himself removed your Lord's places of worship and altars. He told you people of Judah and Jerusalem that you must worship and burn incense on only one altar. You know what my ancestors and I have done to all the people in other nations. The gods of those nations could not save their people from my power. My ancestors destroyed those nations. None of their gods could save them from me. So your God cannot save you from my power. Do not let Hezekiah fool you or trick you, and do not believe him. No god of any nation or kingdom has been able to save his people from me or my ancestors. Your God is even less able to save you from me. Sennacherib's officers said worse things against the Lord God and his servant Hezekiah. King Sennacherib also wrote letters insulting the Lord, the God of Israel. They spoke against him, saying, "The gods of the other nations could not save their people from me." In the same way, Hezekiah's God won't be able to save his people from me. Then the king's officers shouted in Hebrew, calling out to the people of Jerusalem who were on the city wall. The officers wanted to scare the people away so they could capture Jerusalem. They spoke about the God of Jerusalem as though he were like the gods the people of the world worshipped, which are made by human hands. King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, prayed to heaven about this. Then the Lord sent an angel who killed all the soldiers, leaders, and officers in the camp of the king of Assyria. So the king went back to his own country in disgrace. When he went into the temple of his God, some of his own sons killed him with a sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the people in Jerusalem from Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from all other people. He took care of them on every side. Many people brought gifts for the Lord to Jerusalem, and they also brought valuable gifts to King Hezekiah of Judah. From then on, all the nations respected Hezekiah. At that time, Hezekiah became so sick he almost died. When he prayed to the Lord spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not thank God for his kindness because he was so proud. So the Lord was angry with him and the people of Judah and Jerusalem. But later, Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem were sorry and stopped being proud, so the Lord did not punish them while Hezekiah was alive. Hezekiah had many riches and much honor. He made treasuries for his silver, gold, gems, spices, shields, and other valuable things. He built storage buildings for grain, new wine, and oil, and stalls for all the cattle and pens for the sheep. He also built many towns. He had many flocks and herds because God had given Hezekiah much wealth. It was Hezekiah who cut off the upper pool of the Gihon spring and made those waters flow straight down to the west side of the older part of Jerusalem. And Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. But one time, the leaders of Babylon sent messengers to Hezekiah asking him about a strange sign that had happened in the land. When they came, God left Hezekiah alone to test him so he could know everything that was in Hezekiah's heart. Hezekiah's love for God and the other things he did as king are written in the vision of the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. This is in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Hezekiah died and was buried on a hill where the graves of David's ancestors are. All the people of Judah and Jerusalem honored Hezekiah when he died, and his son Manasseh became king in his place. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he was king for 55 years in Jerusalem. He did what the Lord said was wrong. He did the hateful things the nations had done, the nations that the Lord had forced out of the land ahead of the Israelites. Manasseh's father, Hezekiah, had torn down the places where gods were worshipped, but Manasseh rebuilt them. He also built altars for the Baal gods, and he made Asherah idols and worshipped all the stars of the sky and served them. The Lord had said about the temple, "I will be worshipped in Jerusalem forever." But Manasseh built altars in the temple of the Lord. He built altars to worship the stars in the two courtyards of the temple of the Lord. He made his children pass through fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. He practiced magic and witchcraft and told the future by explaining signs and dreams. He got advice from mediums and fortune tellers. He did many things the Lord said were wrong, which made the Lord angry. Manasseh carved an idol and put it in the temple of God. God had said to David and his son Solomon about the temple, "I will be worshipped forever in this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel. I will never again make the Israelites leave the land I gave to their ancestors. But they must obey everything I have commanded them and all the teachings, rules, and commands I gave them through Moses. But Manasseh led the people of Judah and Jerusalem to do wrong. They did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed ahead of the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they did not listen. So the Lord brought the king of Assyria's army commanders to attack Judah. They captured Manasseh, put hooks in him, placed bronze chains on his hands, and took him to Babylon. As Manasseh suffered, he begged the Lord his God for help and humbled himself before the God of his ancestors. When Manasseh prayed, the Lord heard him and had pity on him. So the Lord let him return to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is the true God. After that happened, Manasseh rebuilt the outer wall of Jerusalem and made it higher. It was in the valley on the west side of the Gihon Spring and went to the entrance of the Fish Gate and around the hill of Ophel. Then he put commanders in all the strong walled cities of Jerusalem. Manasseh removed the idols of other nations, including the idol in the temple of the Lord. He removed all the altars he had built on the temple hill and in Jerusalem and threw them out of the city. Then he set up the Lord's altar and sacrificed on it fellowship offerings and offerings to show thanks to God. Manasseh commanded all the people of Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. The people continued to offer sacrifices at the places of worship, but their sacrifices were only to the Lord their God. The other things Manasseh did as king, his prayer to his God, and what the seers said to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, all are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Manasseh's prayer and God's pity for him, his sins, his unfaithfulness, the places he built for worshiping gods, and the Asherah idols before he humbled himself, all are written in the book of the seers. Manasseh died and was buried in his palace. Then Manasseh's son Amon became king in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he was king for 2 years in Jerusalem. He did what the Lord said was wrong, as his father Manasseh had done. Amon worshipped and offered sacrifices to all the carved idols Manasseh had made. Amon did not humble himself before the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. Instead, Amon sinned even more. King Amon's officers made plans against him and killed him in his palace. Then the people of the land killed all those who had made plans to kill King Amon, and they made his son Josiah king in his place.